Good morning. It is Wednesday, May the 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm J.D. Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Beginning today with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, Clarity is Kindness. Our text comes from Acts chapter 15, verses 22 through 29. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the apostles and elders, with the whole church, decided to choose some of their own men and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They chose Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, men who were leaders among the believers. With them they sent the following letter. The apostles and elders, your brothers, to the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we are writing. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. The Word of the Lord. Now consider this. Today's text from Acts chapter 15 offers some tremendous wisdom for leaders of all stripes, for any kind of organization, and for every family unit on the planet. Permit me to enumerate a few observations. Number one, authority without autocracy. They exercised power without force or pressure. They did not issue a cease and desist order here. And yet it is clear about a few requirements. It is also clear about who has authority and who does not. People who have clarity about the responsibility of power know how to exercise authority without being authoritarian. Number two, clarity amidst confusion. They took at least three decisive steps to ensure clear understanding. First, they wrote a clear letter. Second, they chose the Gentiles' representatives from the church at Antioch, Paul and Barnabas. They did not send the papal brass, i.e., Peter. Third, they did send a couple of their own representatives vested with authority to confirm by, quote, word of mouth, the contents of the letter. I suspect this was for the benefit of those circumcision-happy Pharisees. Note also, they did not send low-level bureaucrats to accompany Paul and Barnabas. They sent highly decorated lieutenant colonel types. Yet they sent people whose authority came more from their witness than their rank. Number three, listen. Empathy, empathy, empathy. Note how the letter began with the recognition of the anxiety felt by the Gentiles. They acknowledged not only what had happened, the unauthorized exercise of power, but they recognized the Gentiles, quote, disturbed and troubled, fragile emotional state. Empathy may be the rarest and yet single most important quality a leader can possess and demonstrate. At the core of empathy is the highly underrated practice of listening. This is not to be confused with the squishy sentimentalism we so often see in the ranks of people-pleasing leaders. Research shows the average person listens for 18 seconds before interrupting with their own question, insight, or assertion. Number four, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. They exercised true Spirit-filled leadership without playing the God card. This was not a throw up your hands and shrug your shoulders, this comes from the top and there's nothing we can do about it moment. They personally owned the decision they together discerned in the strength and wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And number five, pastoral, decisive, unapologetic. They framed the new requirements pastorally, decisively, and unapologetically. No hem-hawing around here. Clear leadership. Perhaps I'm reading into this too much through modern leadership lenses, and I do not intend to wrap the first century church in a best business practices cover, but I think the text warrants such observations. What do you think? The big takeaway? The way decisions get made and carried out is as important as the decisions themselves. In fact, effective leaders see them as one and the same. And yes, clarity is kindness. Prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Amen. Journal prompts. Are you quick and patient to listen or quick to interrupt and interject? Do you consider yourself a good listener? Do you have a growing capacity for empathy? It may be the most important and rare skill in life. What do you make of this matter of clarity and kindness? And the corollary. The hymn. Today we will sing Trust and Obey. That is number 334 in our seedbed hymnal, our great Redeemer's praise. Trust and Obey. 334. We're going to sing all four verses. Are you ready? When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil he doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. We never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. Wow. That's what I want to do. That's where I want to be. I think that's where you want to be too. Lay it all on the altar. That's the secret, isn't it? That's what Hannah Whittle Smith would call the Christian secret of a happy life. A book I read many years ago. It's probably a 19th century author. Laying it all on the altar. You've heard that joke, right? The difficulty of being a living sacrifice is you're just so prone to crawl back off the altar. You know, then the thing about that is the desire to do that pleases the Lord. So give him as much as you have access to give him today. And he'll give you access to more to give him tomorrow. This is an ongoing thing. It's not a one and done. It's giving all that we know of ourselves to all that we know of Jesus. And what is fullness today, there'll be more of tomorrow. Let's let that tune carry us out into our day. It's Wednesday. I'm getting back into the hang of this. Are you guys, am I doing it right? It's good to be back with you, and it's good to be back unfolding this story of Acts. How did you relate to those insights today? Authority without autocracy, clarity amidst confusion. Listen. Golly, that's the most important one, I think. Empathy. Seek first to understand and then to be understood. Empathy. I was late to the game learning empathy. That's what most people desperately are in need of. Some, they need to feel, not that you feel sorry for me, but that you're with me, that I'm with you. I'm not standing over off in the distance, just praying maybe for you, but I'm actually alongside you. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. And you know, we're not capable of empathy, really, real empathy. But Jesus is, and when Jesus is in us, that's where it begins to happen through us. He has this capacity to be with other people in and through us. Just make yourself available, and He will make Himself present. Just show up and be with others who are struggling. And that's most people. Well, let's call it a day, or at least a morning. We got a day ahead of us. I'm going to get my seeds. You're going to get your seeds. I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.